grace. That's how we got in, ain't it?
Yeah. Amen.
It sure ain't nothing I've ever done or ever going to do. And nothing you're ever going to do. You can't do enough.
That's
you
right.
Can't say enough. You can't pray enough. Amen. All we can do is trust the Lord and His blood.
Amen.
And I'm glad it wasn't just grace for salvation, but I mean, it's been grace all along the way.
Amen.
I've needed that grace since I got saved. I don't know about you.
Amen.
If it wasn't for His grace, I'd be lost. I'd have done lost it.
Amen.
I mean, like today. Some of you, since you got in here, amen. We'd be in a mess without it. But man, it's grace all the way from Calvary to glory, and I thank God for it. And if you haven't experienced that grace, if you don't know what we're talking about tonight, you're in a good place. And you can come to know the Lord tonight if you'll just trust Him. He's got grace for you. And that blood that He shed on Calvary, it can take care of your sin tonight. You say, but preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. You don't know the scars. Hey, you don't understand. We're talking about the blood that goes deeper than the stain is gone. There's not a sin that you've done that one drop of the precious blood of Jesus couldn't take care of. Amen. So don't sit here tonight and think, well, God couldn't save me. Oh, He'd love to save you if you'll just come to Him. Luke chapter number 10 in your Bible tonight. Luke chapter number 10. And it's good to be back in church this evening. And I know we still got tonight and then tomorrow night, but I want to say to Ball Road Baptist Church, thank you for having us and thank you for your kindness to our family. And I said that one time at a church, and they said, you sound like you've been to churches where they weren't kind to you. Yep. So, but y'all have been very kind and fed us, and that's always a blessing. I like to go to meetings where I leave a little bit fatter than when I showed up. And I've done that this week already, but thank you, and I'm looking forward to the next couple nights. Good to have preacher already mentioned a number of pastors, preacher friends here this evening. And I got a sneaking suspicion y'all probably came to hear Brother Moore. And I'm just going to be honest with you, I'd probably rather hear Brother Moore too. But this is what the pastor's asked us, so this is what we're going to do. And we need to hear from the Lord more than you need to hear from me or Brother Moore. We just need to hear from God and His Word. That's what will make the difference. But Brother Moore, I appreciate the messages this week. You've blessed my heart. Y'all don't want me to say this, the preachers don't anyway, but I'm going to let y'all in on a little secret. Preachers need preaching. I mean, we need preaching. I need preaching, and my heart has been stirred this week through the preaching. And my wife, she really needs it. She's full of the devil, so y'all pray for her. Oh, well, now y'all better pray for me. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10, a very familiar account in the Word of God. I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 25. Luke chapter 10, verse number 25. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself." Now hold on just a second. I don't read anywhere in the text here where it said that Jesus condemned him. I don't see where anybody in the crowd condemned him, but yet he's going to try to justify himself. You say, what happened right there? His own conscience condemned him. But rather than just get right with his attitude, fix his heart, fix his attitude, just repent, he's going to sit there and reason with himself and with Jesus, and he's going to try to justify himself. Can I just say this morning, that goes on almost every Sunday in Baptist churches all across America. Now, I'm sure it does in the other denominations too, but I'm a Baptist, that's all I've ever known. And I know it goes on because I've been guilty of it. Brother Morgan, there's been times the preacher has preached, I've got under conviction, and rather than get right with God, I'll just sit there in the pew. Well, now hold on a second. Now there is this verse over here, or there's this thought here, or so-and-so said this. Why don't we just get right with God tonight? Why don't we just come clean with the Lord? We'd have a great meeting if we'd just go ahead and get honest and quit trying to justify our sin and our carnality and worldliness.
Amen.
But some of you, like most Baptists, you'll sit here tonight and like you have the last few nights, you'll just justify it and you'll go home the same way you came.
Amen.
With no victory. You're just like this fellow right here. Verse 29, but he willing to just, that's not the message, but it's good preaching. But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Verse 30 begins what we call the parable of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Tonight I want to draw your attention back to verse number 33. Notice it said, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. I want to preach tonight on what Sister Melissa sang a while ago. I want to preach tonight on He Came to Me.
Amen.
He came to me. I don't know exactly what you see when you read this story, and we've read it many times. We've heard it preached many times, no doubt. And when you see this fella laying on the side of the road and he's been beaten and battered and broke, and the world has just left him in a bad situation. I don't know what you see in that man, but I see myself before I met the Lord, just an old lost sinner, amen, that just had no hope, no help from the world. I was broken, I was blind, I was bound up in the chains of sin, but I'm glad one day the Lord Jesus Christ came down the road, and I'm glad He took time to care for me, and He helped me when nobody else could help me. He gave me hope when I had no hope in anyone else or anything else. Hey, I'm still excited tonight about the fact that one day the Lord Jesus came down the road to where I was and lifted me up out of the miry clay, out of the old pit. I wonder tonight, do you still remember where Jesus found you? Do you still remember the hell hole that He brought you out of? And He's the only one that could do that. He's the only one that had the blood that could take care of our sin problem. He's the only one that could go to the cross of Calvary and pay my sin debt and your sin debt. He's the only one that could get the job done. I'm still in love with Him tonight. I hadn't got over the fact that one day He saved my soul. I don't want to get over it. I think the problem with too many Christians today, they've gotten over the joy of their salvation. I said a while ago, I'm glad we can't lose it once you got it. But you can lose the joy. I preached for an older man in Oklahoma last week, very dear, precious man of God, and a sweet wife, and they shared with us some troubles and trials that they had gone to. And that older lady there said that she just, in the middle of the ministry, a certain ministry they had been in several years ago, she said, I lost my joy. She said it was gone, and she said it took a while to get it back. Thank God she got it back.
Amen.
I mean, but even right in the middle of the ministry, preachers, preachers' wives, we can lose our joy. A lot of people have lost the joy of their salvation. See, the devil doesn't, he's not done working on you once he loses your soul. He'll go after your testimony. He'll go after your joy. And there might be somebody here tonight, maybe you've gotten over that joy. I just want to remind us tonight of what the Lord has done for us and how good He's been to us. Somebody said, well, that preaching on salvation, that's just shallow, that's not deep. There ain't nothing deeper than the salvation of God.
Amen.
You can get all your doctrine correct, you can have all your standards and convictions just right, but if you miss salvation, you've missed it all.
Amen.
Ain't nothing deeper than that. Amen. If you're looking for some deep, deep nuggets tonight, you probably ain't going to get them here this evening. You probably put your pen away if you want to. I don't know, but I'm just going to brag on the Lord for a little while.
Amen.
Talk about what He did for me that day when He came to me. Several things we'll look at and then we'll go to the house. Number one, I want you to notice there was a road that led downward. There was a road that led downward. We see it in verse number 30. Look at it. It said, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. The Bible said he went down. Now, if you look at this road from a geographical standpoint on a map, Jericho is situated about 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. So it looks like he's going up, not down. It appears like there would be a contradiction, but we are Bible believers here tonight. We know there are no contradictions in the King James Bible. There are no mistakes in the King James. You say, well, you know, the professor said down at the Bible college that there was mistakes. The professor's wrong. Amen. Dr. Smellfungus told you wrong. Amen. There are no mistakes. Amen. Surely we're settled on that here tonight at Ball Road Baptist Church. It's not a contradiction. What you're dealing with here is a drop in elevation. Because Jericho is situated about 3,400 feet lower in elevation. It'd be about like driving up into these mountains over here in East Tennessee, the Smoky Mountains, and you go down, even if you're headed north, you know. So he's headed in a northward direction, but he's going downhill. But let's look at it for a moment from a spiritual standpoint. He's going away from Jerusalem, the holy city. And he's headed down to Jericho, which is the cursed city. What you have here is a picture of a man that's descending into sin and destruction as he's going further and further away from God. And brother and sister, the truth of the matter is tonight, there's a whole lot more people on that downward road than there are on the upward road. It could even be tonight that you're maybe even in this church house, somebody's here and you're going away from the presence of God and the blessings of God and you're going the wrong way. And I'm going to tell you, when you get on that downward road, it's a slippery slope. It don't take long for things to get completely out of control, and it never ends well. Never ends well. When you maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking about going the other direction and going away from the holy city and headed to the cursed city. I'm here to warn you, it's not going to end well for you. Amen. There is no good turnout on that road. The Bible said in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And a lot of people have chosen that way which just seemeth right to them. What the world says, what the crowd says. Some of you get on that road because you just want to do what the crowd's doing. Going with the crowd's never been the right way. Amen. You better go with the Lord. A road that led downward. The second thing I see here in this story is there were some robbers who left him for dead. It said there at the end of verse number 30, he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Here comes these robbers. These robbers tonight could represent society and how society is set out to try to destroy us. They're trying to destroy the home and the family and our children. They're out to destroy our lives. Society wants to destroy our bodies. It's amazing the things that you see as you just walk around. You could go to Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg, and even in a somewhat family-oriented environment, you'll see some of the worst mess you'll ever see. I mean, people are tattooed from head to toe. I mean, big old things sticking out of their ear. Now they put rings in their nose. I mean, I'm thinking, I spend most of the day trying to get stuff out of my nose. I don't need to be adding to it. Amen. It's okay to laugh right there. You ain't that dignified. Amen. And you know, I'm not mad at those people. You know what they're doing? They're doing what lost people do. They need somebody that will love them and tell them about Jesus. But that's what society wants to do. They want to wreak havoc in our lives. Satan, these robbers could represent Satan and how he's roaming about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And then just self. Could we just be honest tonight? Our self is really the biggest problem we got. I could try to blame a lot of things on the devil, but at the end of the day, it's just my old stinking flesh I have the biggest problem with. And when you wrap all these together, it's just a big picture of sin and what sin does to a person and how it destroys lives. Sin takes, amen, we see the depriving of sin. It said they stripped him. They took his garments, his clothing. Amen. Could I say tonight, sin doesn't give, it takes. Young people, are you listening to me? You're thinking about dabbling around in sin. It ain't going to give you anything. It's going to take from you. Amen. Amen. The depriving of sin. It'll deprive you of your family. How many homes tonight have been destroyed? How many children's lives have been ruined? Because mama or daddy just opened that door to sin. And you say, we're just going to open it a little bit. But you open it a little bit, man, the devil will kick it right in. How many marriages have been destroyed tonight because of sin? Sin will deprive you of your finances. Have y'all noticed it ain't cheap to sin? It's not even economically feasible to sin. It'd be worth quitting. You might just have more money in the bank. Amen. I thought that was funny. I guess I'll scratch that one out of my notes. Don't say that one again. It'll deprive you of your faith. Further you get away from the Lord Jesus Christ, the weaker and weaker your faith is going to get. And we are in some dark, wicked days. And the only thing that's going to get us through is our faith in the Lord. So we sure want to be close to Him. The depriving of sin, the discomfort of sin. The Bible said they wounded Him. I mean, sin, it'll leave you hurting. It'll leave you in pain. The fact is, this man, he's wounded to the point he cannot help himself. That's where I was when Jesus came my way. I couldn't help myself. My mom and dad, Brother Morgan, I mean, good Christian people, raised me right, but they couldn't help me that day. The preacher, though he may have tried hard, he couldn't help me that day. Jesus was the only one that come by when I was there wounded. And then there's the deadliness of sin. The Bible said they departed, leaving him half dead. And that's what sin always does. It'll come by and show you a pretty picture of how things could be. The boyfriend or the girlfriend that you could have. The friends that you could have. The pleasure that you could have. The Bible said there is pleasure in sin for a season. But shoot, man, a season short. I mean, it was snow, it was winter yesterday, it's spring today. 81 tomorrow, it'll be summer tomorrow. These seasons are getting real short in East Tennessee. Oh, it may give you a little bit of pleasure, but the pain of sin lasts a whole lot longer than that pleasure does. And you know what it does when it's done with you after it's destroyed your life and wrecked your home and ruined your testimony? You know what it does? It departs and goes on down the road and sees who else it can destroy. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said, sin never leaves a man better than how it found him. Alcohol has never left a home better. Dope's never left a home better than when it found it. Amen. Meth has never left somebody better than when it found them. There are robbers who just left him for dead. And they're still on that road today seeking whom they can just destroy and take from and ruin their life. Now tonight, you would think that would be the worst part of the story, but in my personal opinion, I think the story gets worse as we go on. Because number three, I want you to notice that religion looked at him with disgust. In verse 31, religion comes by and it does absolutely nothing for this man. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Religion in and of itself has never helped anybody. It ain't ever saved anybody. If anything, it'll keep you as much in bondage as alcohol or dope or adultery or anything else. Amen. I'm telling you, religion apart from Jesus will just have you in bondage. And sometimes that's the hardest one to break. Because in religion, you can look at yourself and say, I'm doing pretty good. And you'll sit there in your own self-righteousness. And you'll die and go to hell in your own self-righteousness. In verse 31, notice it said, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. This priest in verse number 31, he represents the law. Could I say tonight that the law failed this man? I'll tell you what the law will do. It'll show you how bad you are. But it cannot rescue you. It cannot help you. It can't heal you. All it can do is come up and say, yep, you're in bad shape. See ya. See, a lot of people think, well, you know, if I'll just turn over a new leaf, I'm just going to go to the law and, you know, I'm just going to do some good works and some good things. You don't need a new leaf, friend. You need a new life in Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can go to AA all you want, and I'm sure they got good intentions. You can go to rehab, and they may dry you out for a little while, but until you get to Jesus, you're going to keep running back to it and running back to it. You need a new life tonight in Jesus Christ. You could go out here tonight and say, I'm going to get me some good standards and convictions. And by the way, we're for that 100%. But if all you get is the standards and convictions, but you don't get to Jesus, you'll fry in hell with all your standards and convictions. Hell is full of people tonight that never darkened the door of a movie theater. Ma'am, could I say tonight, hell is full of people that never put on a pair of pants. I'm for the standards, hallelujah, but you hear me, you better get to Jesus first. The law will fail you every time. But then in verse number 32, it said, "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side." Now the Levite shows curiosity. He comes and looks at him, but no compassion. He just wants to see the scene. You ever been driving down the interstate and traffic's getting slow and backed up, and you get up there and you find out there's a wreck on the other side, going the other direction, but everybody on this side wants to stop and look at the wreck. For whatever reason, Brother Morgan, we're just naturally attracted to disaster. I mean, you know, you see the fire trucks going, you're like, "Ooh, let's go see the fire." Where I live, you let a tornado come through. Nobody wants to get hit by the tornado, but we want to go see the wreckage and the destruction that happened. That's just how we're made up, I guess. And this fellow right here, he shows that. He showed curiosity, but he had no compassion. The Levite, he represented learning and teaching, and learning failed him. If all you get is a good education and you miss Jesus, you have failed. We're in a world that worships education. They have made a god out of it. And young people, please listen to me. We are for you getting a good education. I mean, go to school, do your very best, because someday you may be performing open heart surgery on me and I want you to have the best degree you can get. I don't. If you're going to cut me open, I don't want you to just barely get by on C's, amen? I want you to be a straight A student. We're for the education. Do your very best. But if all you get is a high degree and a good education, you'll die and go to hell without Jesus. If you get a good Bible education, and you know all the doctrines of the book, you know why you're a Baptist, but you've never met Jesus, you might hear those words one day, "Depart from me. I never knew you." I know the Bible doesn't say specifically where these fellows were headed, but I can't help but wonder if they were on their way to the temple. Maybe they were the ones doing the teaching that day. So they didn't have time to stop and help this fellow. They had more important things to do. Kind of reminds me of the fellow that was on his way to Saturday morning soul winning. He was running late and had to stop and get gas. And as he was finishing up, he was putting the hose back. And the fellow walked up to him and said, "Excuse me, sir, I noticed your bumper sticker there. It said, I love Jesus. Could you tell me a little bit more about this man named Jesus?" And that fellow jumped in his car. And as he started to shut the door, he said, "I ain't got time to tell you about Jesus. I'm late for soul winning." And slammed the door and took off down the road. Would you agree with me? Kind of missed the point. I mean, Brother Morgan, I mean, wouldn't you be okay if somebody was late for soul winning because they was leading somebody to the Lord? Amen. But we get so busy, even in the good things, that we don't take time sometimes to just help somebody else and try to show some care. But I'm glad tonight that the story here didn't end with that road, and it didn't end with those robbers, and it sure didn't end with religion. But I'm glad there was one more man coming down the road. As Paul Harvey used to say, and now for the rest of the story, amen. I want you to notice last of all tonight that there was a Redeemer who loved him dearly. There was a Redeemer coming down the road, amen. And he wasn't going to hurt him like those robbers hurt him. And he wasn't going to just pass on by like religion just passed him on by. But he took time to stop and care for this man, amen. I'm glad that one day when I was in bad shape, there was a Redeemer that was coming down the road. The Bible said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry, brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God." Amen. I'm glad when I was in the pit and I couldn't reach up high enough, He had a long arm that could reach down low enough and get me out. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad He got you out of the pit tonight? Hey, you could still be there. You could still be wallowing in the muck and mire. But oh, thank God Jesus came unto where we was. Hallelujah. Oh, a lot of people will come by the pit when you're stuck down in there, but they can't help you. The Church of Christ will come by and throw some water into the pit and tell you to swim your way out. Amen. The Catholics will come by and throw a priest into the pit and tell you you need to confess your way out. Amen. The Mormons will come by and throw a bicycle in the pit and tell you to pedal your way out. Joel Osteen will throw some of his books into the pit and just tell you to read your way out. But I'm glad when I was in the pit, it was Jesus that came by. It was the blood of Jesus. It was the grace of God that got me out of the pit. Hallelujah. He can get you out tonight.
Amen.
He can take care of that for you. Notice several things and I'm done here. We see the Redeemer's coming in verse number 33. It said, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed came where he was. Notice it said as he journeyed. In other words, it was on purpose that he came. The Bible said in verse number 31, by chance there came down a certain priest. In other words, it was just pure coincidence, happenstance that he came by. Verse 32, and likewise a Levite. Indicating just the same as the priest in verse number 31. He just happened to be coming by. But this man, he was coming on purpose. He was coming for a reason. Amen. You know the Bible said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We see His coming. But then we see His compassion. It said in verse number 33, when He saw him, He had compassion on him. He didn't just come by and look at him in curiosity to see what the scene was. He wasn't looking for any leftover money that he may have left lying around. He came by and had compassion on the man. Hey, aren't you glad he had compassion on you one day? I'm sure glad. I was very religious, grew up in church. I never drank, married pure and all those kind of things, amen. But none of that was good enough to get me to heaven. But I'm glad, as many times as I said no, I'm glad he came by one more time. It still had compassion on me. We see his compassion. But then notice his care in verse number 34. He said he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Boy, the old songwriter had it right. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Amen. Boy, mama can show you some good care. And on a good day, your wife will show you some good care. As long as you ain't telling people she's full of the devil, you know. I might not get good care tonight, amen. But hey, your wife can show you care. Your husband, ladies, sometimes we can be sensitive enough to show y'all some care. But nobody ever cared for me like the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I'm glad for how He cares for His children. Notice what He did for the man there in verse 34. It said He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Oil in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit. Now, self-professed Bible scholars will try to tell you you can't get doctrine from a parable. There's a pretty good doctrinal nugget right here. The Bible says it this way, pouring in oil. Now, in the Old Testament, you study the Bible, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, I mean, it would just come upon men and then leave. We got many examples of that. Throughout the Old Testament, they did not have the indwelling Spirit of God. But here it says He's pouring in oil. You know why you got that? Because you got Jesus, amen. Because of Calvary, because of the blood, amen. When we get saved, He puts the Spirit of God inside of us, and He's there to stay, and He's there to dwell, and He ain't going nowhere. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. I'm glad He poured in the oil. That oil was to soothe and to comfort. Kind of sounds like the Comforter, don't it? We don't sing it a lot, but I like that old song says, oh, spread the tidings round. Wherever man be found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound, let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound. The Comforter has come. Hey, I'm glad for the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm glad we've got a Comforter in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of trouble. I'm glad we've got the Comforter tonight. And it's because of Jesus. Because He came to where we was. Now He poured in oil and then it said wine. Wine is a type of joy in the Bible. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but the Spirit always comes before the joy. Now we're in a day in modern day Christianity, a lot of people want the joy without the Spirit. And they're filling up charismatic churches and contemporary churches and rock and roll churches that look like nightclubs because they ain't got the Spirit. They want the joy, but they don't want the Spirit. They don't want to be filled with the Spirit. They don't want to follow after the Spirit. They want to live a carnal lifestyle, but then enjoy Jesus on Sunday. You know, just do what you want to do all week long and just whoop, whoop, thank you, Jesus, on Sunday. So they've learned how to manufacture the joy. But it's not lasting and it's not very deep and rich. But that joy that comes in walking with the Lord and being led by the Holy Spirit of God, I'm telling you, it's rich and it's deep and it'll last in the darkest midnight. Amen. That's real joy. Amen. I'd rather have the real thing. Amen. But He gave him the Spirit, gave him joy. Then notice his carrying. The Bible said in verse 34 that he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. He didn't just leave him laying there on the road. He said, I'm going to take you on down the road where you can get more help. You know what that inn is a picture of? It's a picture of the church. He carried him down to the church, amen, where he could get help even further, amen. I'm glad when I got saved, amen. Amen, I'm glad I got in the church. And I just want to say the church has been real good. I'm glad I'm still in the inn tonight, amen. I'm glad for the church. You say, well, Brother Daniel, you don't understand. Our church ain't perfect. Of course it's not. You go here. Amen. That's just the truth. Amen. Well, our church is having problems. We're going to leave and go down the road. Yeah, that church will have problems too. About time you show up. Hey, I'm glad for the church tonight. There are no perfect churches because there are no perfect people. There are no perfect pastors. There are no perfect evangelists. Amen. There's not a perfect church, but I'm still glad for the church. And you hear me, for every time I may have got my feelings hurt or something went wrong at the church, there's been 1,000 times I've been blessed, I've been helped, I've been encouraged by the people of God. I say thank God for the church. It's a place of help. It's a place where you can find hope and healing tonight. Hallelujah for the church. You say, well, we're just going to, you know, have a little home church. Yeah, we'll see how that works out for you. We'll see what kind of children that produces. You need the church. Well, preacher, I can sit in my recliner and worship the Lord. Yeah. When's the last time you had a good worship service in your recliner on Sunday morning? Won't you tell me about it? Tell me how rich and juicy it was. Hallelujah. His carrying. He carried him down to the inn. Well, let me say this. If the Samaritan is a type of Jesus, and I believe he is, and if the inn is a type of the church, and I believe it is, then this beast he put him on must be a type of the first bus ministry in the Bible. Amen. Have you ever been in the parking lot of most independent fundamental Baptist churches, amen, and seen their buses? You'd call them a beast, amen. Oh, hey, I'm glad for some churches that'll still run buses and vans and go pick up children and mamas and daddies and help them down to the church house. I'm glad for that tonight. He put him on his beast and carried him down to the church. And then in verse number 35, we see his charity. The Bible said, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. He took out 2 pence. He said, I got to go away, but I'm coming back. Y'all need to get a hold of that tonight. He said, I got to go away, but I'll be back. Amen. And he handed him 2 pence. Of course, in the Bible, a pence was a day's wages, indicating that he planned to be gone about 2 days. And of course, we know 1,000 years is as it, or days is one way or the other. I ain't getting my math right, but you know what I'm trying to say. I think there's a good indication right there that he's coming back. Amen. And he tells us when he's coming back. Amen. It's been about 2,000 years since he left, and I think it's about time he's going to come back. And when he comes back, he says, I'll repay thee. Hey, preacher, maybe you're just discouraged, maybe you're down, but just keep on preaching. God, keep sounding the gospel trumpet for the glory of God. Hey, singer, maybe you've grown weary with singing the songs, but just get up and sing one more time for the glory of God. Sunday school teacher, keep teaching them little snot-nosed brats. There's no telling what one of them might grow up and do for the glory of God. Amen. I say we need to just stay at it because He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Hallelujah. And it's going to be a good day when He does. He's going to repay His children for what they've done and how they've served Him. Hallelujah. He's coming back. I don't know about you tonight, brother and sister, but I'm glad for the day He came to where I was and did for me what nobody else could do. Now in verse number 36, notice in closing, He turns His attention back to the smart aleck lawyer. He said, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Do you realize that Jesus really never did answer the man's question? The question in verse 29 was, who's my neighbor? But Jesus, as he so often did with the scribes and Pharisees, he turned the table on him. And he changed the question from, who's my neighbor, to, what kind of neighbor are you? Hey, y'all. We know who our neighbor is. They live around us. You'll see them at work tomorrow. You youngins will go to school with them tomorrow. It's the lady at the gas station and at the Walmart counter that you see every time you go. They're all around us. We know who our neighbor is. But what kind of neighbor are you? Have they seen the love of Christ in you or anything you've done or how you live? Can they see Jesus in you? When's the last time you helped somebody to Jesus? We can't save them, Brother Morgan. We can't save them. We can be part of the rescue team.
Amen.
Miss Melissa, do you mind coming back to the pit? I mean, if you want to sing that same song, I'm 100% for it. I think God would be for it. Let me ask you three questions and I'm done. Number one, do you know Him tonight? Do you know the Lord? If you don't, why don't you come to Jesus? Let Him change your life. Brother Morgan's going to stand right down front here. He's got a Bible in hand. She's going to start playing in just a minute. When she does, won't you step out and come down and say, preacher, I need to be saved.
Amen.
Don't leave here tonight without knowing where you're going when you die. Question number two. If you are saved, do you still have that joy? Or have you lost the joy of salvation? If you have, might be a good idea to find you a place at an altar and say, like David, Lord, please restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Hey, brother and sister, when's the last time you really rejoiced in your salvation? When's the last time just in your home or in your car you just found yourself with a hand in the air, tears flowing down your face, just thinking about how good and wonderful it is to be saved? If it's been a while, it'd be a good night to get your joy back. Reason we don't have much public worship and praise is there's very little private worship and praise. Question number three, what kind of neighbor are you? You look back over the 4 months we've already had in 2018, or you look back over last year, have you treated people around you, lost and saved? Have you treated them? What kind of neighbor have you been? Can people see Jesus in your life, in your home? We're standing all over the building. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for helping us preach tonight. I pray that we was a help to somebody here this evening. I pray You'd save the lost. Lord, I pray that maybe somebody could just get that fullness of joy once again in their life and help us to be the witness that we're here to be, to point others to You and show some love and compassion to people who are hurting. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. She's singing. Altars are open. If you need to come tonight, come do business with the Lord. Find you a place.
How could the God of heaven love a helper?